Let's make internet radio programs.
Hey, Johnny.
The future.
You want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
I'm a tuckered out pupperoo.
Yeah, you tired?
I don't know. I could not fall asleep last night for the life of
me. Neither could Anne.
I am fucking beat.
You know what? It must be some kind of geomagnetic thing going on.
I have no idea why I could not fall asleep whatsoever. I
think it was like Equinox.
That's probably it.
It's time for Matt and Mattingly's Equinox Special. Sitting across from me is Paul Mattingly.
Across from me, balanced on his wompy side, is Matt Donnelly.
Let's check out the audio.
We're preaching fun.
We are preaching fun.
Today's episode brought to you by the Chevrolet Equinox.
Yeah. You can put that car on its side and it won't tip over.
No problem. Way.
On one day a year, you can balance it just right. You can drive like that.
That would be amazing if they figured that out.
One day a year, you can drive your car upside down. That'd be some
shit. On two wheels.
You can just lift your car up on its side. It would just stay there one day.
Yeah, and it'd be easy to lift. And
be
put
fucking
right there.
Brilliant.
And then because if a friend owned it, they come over. I'd be like, is today the Equinox? I'd be like, I don't know. Let's find out. And then we just lift the car.
You try to lift the car
and then run. It's not the Equinox.
No, it's falling. Crash.
Yeah,
but Jacob's back at work.
Yes, Jacob, you're working your ass off there, huh?
Yeah.
You got two jobs post-pandemic here.
Yeah, not counting this one.
Oh, yeah. We don't, none of us count this
That's
one.
True.
No. I do, sort of. Someday.
Yeah, I mean, you have to leave your house, so that's got to be something on the calendar
that makes
for
it,
you.
That really is.
Right.
It's like, I didn't do anything between last recording and this recording, except take the dogs to the park.
Okay.
We did have a nice park day. It's beautiful out again.
Bravo. It is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's lovely. Now I'm part time over at the Piff the Magic Dragon show now.
Yeah.
Part time and on call there, and then Absinthe has reopened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so while these shows were happening, just a little snapshot of Vegas. It was the craziest thing because we had increased our capacity from 50 people to 100 people in large theaters, and it was 25 to 35%. Whatever is less is less.
Right.
So for most of the shows we're talking about. It went from 50 to 100 people. And basically, while everyone was adjusting to that deal, the governor put it to 250.
Yeah.
Like, basically, it was like 2 weeks.
And changed a bunch of other regulations.
And changed a bunch of other regulations as well. Speculation is someone was like, hey, buddy, stimulus checks are coming out.
Ah.
The one place people are definitely going to feel cool going first is Las Vegas.
Yep. Yeah.
You might want to go ahead and open things up.
A little more.
Yeah. 90 million people get $1,400.
Mm-hmm.
And Fauci's been saying for a while that your theaters, showrooms, places like that, that 25% is a really good number.
Yeah.
And I mean, I tell you, Absinthe still, you know, I talked about it last fall. Absinthe still feels really safe.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. And there was a rule that was, you know, a lot of rules were experiments or best practices, and that could feel arbitrary to the shows themselves.
Right.
A huge factor that was done away with was what was called a moat.
The moat.
25 feet.
25 feet from the stage
from
to
the nearest
audience member.
Which was just, I mean, you know, an experimental. You know, there's
in some places that's easier to achieve than others.
Right. If you perform in, say, a circus tent in the round.
Not very feasible.
Tough.
And Jacob was there when the first time they whipped out the tape measure at the Absinthe.
I was like, oh, that's a really long way.
Yeah.
And so with the moat, even with the increases in audience, that wasn't doing any favors for smaller
right.
venues because of the moat.
Well, now the moat is still there. But it's drastically different now. That was one of the regulations that changed. So it went from 25 feet down to 12 feet if the performers are unmasked.
Right.
And if the performers are masked, it is now 6 feet.
Right, like everybody else.
Now it's just like, oh, you're just two people who have masks on.
Yeah. And it was funny because I was there for the relaunch of Piff's show,
and
the 25 feet to 6 feet mask thing was a really funny thing to negotiate. So we had like this runway with a hand sanitizing station on it, and we knew that microphone stand was 25 feet from the stage.
Right.
So Piff could do all of his interacting with someone at that point. And then if they were to do that and then bring him up on stage, it was this very long, dramatic runway walk Yeah. For that person to come on stage while Piff put his mask on and they put their mask on and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it you know, created all kinds of weird side effects of it or whatever. But
and Piff, of course, was smart because he just made it a part of the show. He made it a bit in the show.
That was so fun to be around it.
Yeah.
Every obstacle. I mean, it was we were being handed because Piff was one of the first shows to reopen. I think the first major show to reopen.
I believe so.
And basically the only one to really run continuously throughout this whole ordeal.
Yeah.
And so Caesars Entertainment, Flamingo, right? So any hotel's thing about with Caesars, it's going up the chain, it was going to land on Piff's lap. So he was getting new directives basically daily.
Mm. Right.
And every time we did something right, we just came in the next day and we're like, no. That's now gone, and now it's this. Yeah. And so it was a real and Piff just has the kind of show that it was often just funny, that he would make it funny to adjust it, to all this stuff. Yeah. And then, you know, he always has a moment where he talks to the audience and does, you know, some kind of stand-up or whatever. And I think, like, a week in, it became this, like, so, like, it basically just went off on all the things he was doing and dealing with or whatever. And it was great because the audience doesn't give a shit. Mm. Everything you're talking about is for the people who can be sued or held accountable.
Right.
Right? Or the safety of the people who are like us. People who know they live in Las Vegas and it's scary as shit to come to a casino and be around a bunch of people flying in from all over the place, right? And so the regulations were to make us feel safe.
Yeah.
The people sitting in the audience...
They feel safe.
Clearly don't give enough of a shit that they're in Vegas buying tickets to shows. Like, whatever their take is on COVID...
It's pretty loose.
It includes going out to a casino and seeing shows.
Let's just do it. Yep. So, they had it.
Yeah.
Their mama had it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, whatever.
Something. They're done.
For whatever reason, they don't give a shit.
They're Superman.
Yeah. So Piff basically vented to the audience, and the audience was sympathetic to hear Piff's plight.
Yeah.
Yes. Which I thought was something I could not have figured out if I was directing or scripting or whatever. I wouldn't have been able to figure out that agreement.
Mm. Right.
But the first time he launched into it and got the laughs that he got, I was like, oh, what a weird agreement he has with the audience right now.
Well, it's that it's a huge testament to his talent.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
That because he's able to engineer and generate that kind of empathy and sympathy.
Yeah.
But also he knows that for better or worse, we're all fucking sick of this crazy shit.
Oh yeah.
And so if he can vocalize that in a comedic way, in a setting that reflects the levels that we have to go to try and regain any kind of normalcy now.
Yeah.
That hits right at the heart of what everybody's been going through for the last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And so now all these shows that were all of a sudden scrambling to accommodate for 100 suddenly could scramble to accommodate 250. So Jacob, at both of these shows, because Absinthe went from opening to 100 to opening to 250 without opening. You know, before they opened, rather.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, all hands on deck getting ready for 100 people, then while you're getting all hands on deck getting ready, suddenly you're getting ready for 250 people.
Almost.
Okay.
It was more of, we're getting ready to open for 100 people.
Yeah.
Then we're getting ready to open for, like, 180 people.
Oh, because of the...
Which is what we ended up doing, because we were all set to still have all of the acts on the side stage. And so now we're slowly re-teching all of the acts to go over the main stage as well. And then next month, we will, I believe is the plan.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that the show will be back to kind of normal next month. But right now, it's a whole lot more normal than it was a few months ago, which is crazy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, talking to people who have more comedic roles, your hosts and those clowns and those kinds of people, really having a hard time, you know, with the social distancing masks and then sparse audience participation kind of stuff, really hard to feel like you're funny.
Sure.
Really hard to feel like you're cooking or whatever. And so it's been an interesting thing. Plus, Absinthe is adjusting to not only the COVID protocols, but political climate as well.
Right.
As an outlandish show. I was going to say, I'm very curious to see the new openings and new jokes in that show as well. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
And then a lot of shows are coming back. now.
Mm-hmm.
So 250 seems to be a big magic number for a lot of big shows to come back.
They can make it work.
Yeah. So it's been fun to see that. Penn said Penn Teller might be coming back in April, and then said maybe he shouldn't be talking about it on air. And then I got a text that was just all exclamation points from his manager.
Oh no!
While we were on air, so
all exclamation points, just exclamation points, no words.
Well, then the Rio.
Which, by the way, but, side note: I'm of two minds as the host. As the co-host of Penn Sunday School.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember one time one of Penn's team, you know, from the LA team, was like, what can we do to, you know, for Penn Sunday School? Like, what can we do to kind of jazz things? What does it need to kind of, you know, whatever? You get things going more, you know, bigger kind of thing.
Growing.
Like, Penn's a great podcaster. Why shouldn't, you know, whatever? And I just said, a publicist. And he's like,
right.
And he basically looked at me like, what? And I was like, we break shit on that show all the time. And like, and so I was kind of like, if Penn and Teller were coming back, why not have every article say, as Penn announced on Penn Sunday School, as Penn announced on his podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that was more of in the minds, a regular thing. Because I feel like that's stuff where, like, I think that'd be better off. Now, sometimes he's doing things like breaking confidentiality agreements with Disney and things like that, which I understand getting a text from his manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a publicist's job really hard. And it makes it hard to want to be that publicist.
Yeah.
Because if you're a publicist that broke some shit on Disney.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to get your next publicist job.
Well, yeah, even like we had like Nicholson Baker on,
mm-hmm.
and then he put an article out in the Atlantic months later where he was broke down. Like, look, there is a lab that the whole world was using that was in Wuhan, China. It wasn't that China was doing stuff. There's a lab in Wuhan, China. And it's not
there
that it was.
There is a lab in and it Wuhan, wasn't, China.
And his thing is, he just wrote a whole book of the history of like basically the government experimenting with shit, and then it going wrong, not because of diabolical conspiracies, but because of human error,
mm-hmm.
like putting fucking anthrax on a water fountain, right. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm sure that we have specific, not so safe engineering and medical research facilities in this country.
What?
Where things could go south too?
No, that's the thing is a lot of it's actually specific on this hospital. Like, there's a hospital near...
God, I thought you were going to say it was specific to this churn.
No.
It's like, oh, no!
To this recording right studio. Legionnaire's disease.
Ah!
No.
trench foot.
Has there been anything on that?
The resurfacing of Legionnaire's disease?
Yeah. Because I know that was a concern early on.
It was a concern early on. And I pulled that out as an improviser, not as a well-read person. So I don't remember anything.
I just know
that's different from
if pipes and stuff sit for a long time.
Whatever the hospital is, there's basically where some of the experimental labs, top secret experimental labs here in this country is. There's basically a hospital nearby.
Uh-huh.
And so while you can't know what's going on in these labs, this particular hospital ends up treating all kinds of diseases that no other hospital treats.
Right.
Right. And so his book broke down a lot of those stories and a lot of the aspects of that. You know. When it comes to like big government conspiracy stuff, and there is,
sure,
it's often very big, sloppy, and much more overt than you think.
Yeah.
So it's not.
And that would be good stuff for a publicist to talk about.
Yeah, that's it. And so he said it on the air. He broke down literally like the whole thing and how actually Trump did change policy to allow this predictive, you know, there's two schools of thought when it comes to fighting viruses. People who, you know, treat them as is and people who want to get in the lab and forward their...
They want to soup them up.
Soup them up so that you see all the evolution and variants ahead of time in a lab environment so you're ready for every variant when it comes out.
Right.
And Trump, Obama said no
don't
to
do
this
that.
Thing.
Yep.
And
Trump said
yep.
Go.
And that lab was in Wuhan.
Yep. Yeah.
So, like, he basically was like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just think, boy, it would be great to look into this, you know. Now, people have tried, you know, and China's not forthcoming and available.
Really?
You know,
not the China that I know.
So it's not so
not the China that I know.
Yeah.
You've changed China.
China. Let him in.
China, what happened? You know that Tori Amos song, China?
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
That's a great song.
Someone should play
that
for
song,
China.
Huh?
Someone should play that for China.
Absolutely.
They would weep and let them write in.
Yeah.
And by the end of that song, Tori would be in their bed.
Yeah.
Sliding in those silk sheets, stroking their hair softly, and saying, China is going to be okay. Be nice.
But yeah, so Nicholson Baker put out that article, and also it was like big in the Atlantic, and everyone's like, hey, look at this. And I was like, I know about it already. He talked to me about it. Meow, meow, meow. You know, like there's no way to play that.
Quote.
Right.
There's no way to play that. Like,
yeah.
Right.
You're just like, yep, it's in the Atlantic. Yep. It's worth taking a look at.
Yeah. Okay.
Meow, meow.
So, Matt, why are you so tired?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Just because you couldn't sleep?
I just literally couldn't sleep. It's the kind of thing
couldn't sleep last night.
So you go to, one of those things where like, I felt like I was going down the weird, you know, your brain drifts off and like your thoughts get a little like whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you start sleepy?
To, like, yeah. Like as you're sleeping, you start, your brain, you kind of go like, I'm not sleeping, but my brain's suddenly like, oh, I've been thinking about a lot of weird shit. Kind of on my way. And then you kind of go out.
See, this is the thing. I think everybody sleeps different than me. Or a lot of people do.
You put a lot of effort into sleeping the way you do.
There's no effort. That's just it.
Well,
for Anne, she's like, she hates going to sleep because she has this feeling of falling asleep that she doesn't like.
Oh, interesting. I don't have that.
You don't have that.
No, I don't
Okay,
either.
Good. But, like, for me, unless I have something to do the next day early that I'm not 100% on.
Right.
I'm out like a light. I plug in my headphones, I turn on a movie, and I'm gone in like 3 minutes.
I would say...
But I'm also staying up till 5.
Yeah.
Paul Mattingly, sleeping the sleep of the unencumbered.
It's true.
I would say, yeah. I'm more complicated than that for sure. So I used to be more of an insomniac.
But you also have kids.
Well, I have kids.
I can't imagine. Like, how can you
So that
even
feeling
sleep?
You just described about, like, unless I have something to do the next day.
Yeah, which is every day.
Every day.
So,
right.
See, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Not playing that
so
game.
So just the idea of, like, oh, my kids are going to die tomorrow if I don't keep them from death? That doesn't keep you awake at night? Because it will now.
I know, exactly. it was funny. So we were over at my mother-in-law's house, and Keeler... leapt off a couch and like smashed to the floor, under the floor, right?
Just went for it.
And then we just got like, but it's funny, like, he has show business parents. So leap number one just gives like a, it's just a, no one even looks at each other.
Right.
We just go back to watching TV.
But that's the recipe though, right?
Right. So he leaps off a chair and then thunders to the ground.
Oh.
And then he, leapt off a third thing and almost hit like this glass table.
Yeah.
And I just go like, you want to go outside, buddy? He's like, he goes, no, there's nothing for me to parkour off outside.
Parkour! He's doing parkour. All right.
I said, you know what? There might be nothing for you to parkour off inside either.
That's right.
Like, you want to stop.
When's his birthday?
You want to stop being a wrecking
tie your
ball.
Little ass to a chair.
When's his birthday?
It's coming up. No, it's not coming up. It's in September.
Oh, all right. Well, for summer.
Yeah.
For summer present.
Yeah.
Get him a GoPro hat and start him making.
He would love it. He would love it.
Start him making parkour videos.
He had a, you know, he goes to play with the, you know, we're still, you know, pod neighbors or whatever. Parent says, hey, they're doing some video game stuff where they're uploading them playing video games to YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Are you okay with your kids being on YouTube?
Okay. Videos? Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. You know?
And philosophically, yes. But then all of a sudden, you know, we're at home and he's like, hey, Dad, you want to see my YouTube video? And then it was like much more real.
Right.
And he's going on to YouTube and putting a video with him in it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, this is kind of...
Well, it's just his voice.
And he's yelling at the people he's playing video games with. He's like, I'm going to pop your eyeball out and skull fuck you, motherfucker.
He was like, he used all these Jewish slurs and now he can't play in the Miami Heat.
It's rough.
Shit.
Yeah. That's the price you pay for a good run of Fortnite.
That's right.
I was like, the guy in the Miami Heat.
He's horrible.
He used a bunch of racial slurs.
Is this right?
Jewish
what?
Slurs.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
He's a guy in the Miami Heat, 6'10", Miles Leonard, I think.
Sounds right.
But, you know, one article is trying to kind of get it right, where, like, basically, they're like, there's one article I saw, and it was, like, a medium, so it wasn't even, like...
Okay.
It could have been, like, my neighbor who wrote it. But There is a culture of saying,
it was your son.
Stay say, down, medium. Too good, say, too long. Say, that's a medium shade. Damn.
You heard me.
I did.
You fucking heard me.
How could you not? That was loud. That was from the mountaintop. Fuck you, medium.
But
you guys are journalish.
Huh? Journalish.
I'll tell you who else will throw down on medium, and that's the following sponsor.
Hey, medium, it's me, Huffington Post.
Oh, shit. Hey, Huffington Post, I'm just a guy who lives next door to people.
That's right. Our journalists live next door to no one. Our journalists live alone on Journalism Island.
Hey, you know, I read a really horrific fact.
Yeah.
Since 2010,
yeah,
the occupation of journalism itself,
yeah,
has basically been halfway eradicated.
Yes.
We're down by about 40%+. And our money that we make as journalish people,
yeah,
is way down too.
Yeah.
So not only are there fewer journalists, but they're not getting paid anything either. So I'm thinking this might lead to bad faith reporting on a grand scale, the like of which we haven't seen since the whole of the fucking Trump administration.
Well, let me check. No, it's fine.
Oh, okay, great.
I was going to make fun of Huffington Post, but you kind of swallowed it with your point. Your point.
No. Fuck Huffington Post, too.
Yeah.
But fuck Medium.
And our Hayes, good to check out. So that's what your son said the other day.
Yeah.
End quote.
Where am I? Okay. I was making fun of Miles Leonard, but the Medium article, the well-written.
Professionally written.
Pulitzer Peabody-worthy article
Peabody
that I read.
Peabody-worthy.
On Medium about...
It's journalist. Let it be.
But basically, it is young people, when they normally play in regular, you know, out and about,
uh-huh,
will say horrible things they would never say in public.
Sure.
Right? As kids, I definitely said mouth off about a ton of stuff.
Sure.
You think it's funny to mouth off about things that adults think are wrong.
And like, usually you don't even have any knowledge as to what is behind that epithet.
Right.
Right.
You don't even understand it.
I bet I have never in a single calendar year said more curse words than I did the year I was in fourth grade.
There you go.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And the first time you learn that you can reduce a race or a gender or, you know, whatever,
right,
to some word that you never heard before,
right,
but it actually means something horrible and it would really get a big reaction, you definitely like saying those words the first time around amongst your friends.
Sure.
And
there's
so...
There's an experimental weird thrill as a kid.
And so this player was talking shit and used racial words. Now, he got suspended and fined.
Yeah.
Great. This is not me voicing sympathy for this.
No.
I'm just saying that, like...
He's also not 10.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Big difference.
He's 13.
Yeah.
Even 13. Like, I mean, I don't play games online very much.
Yeah.
I used to.
Yeah.
And I even played a little Call of Duty way back.
Yeah.
Before Call of Duty became Call of Duty.
Right.
And Halo and whatnot. There was already just... You just hear the worst of the worst.
Well, that's again, like, when I talk about my kids playing online and stuff like that, like, I'm not, you know, Penn and Teller bullshit, do not care about video game violence, and I don't think video game violence makes the world worse.
It's a myth. No.
It's a total myth.
Yeah.
Video game culture, I am worried about.
You should be.
Because the iced tea thing we talked about, right? Like, you know, people forget there's a time where you said stuff, you get punched in the mouth or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Quote, I'm butchering from him. But it's the truth. Like, people just say whatever the fuck they want online, and they know they're anonymous, so they make it worse. They take it. They cross lines they know they would not cross if you know they were.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that is so. Like, here's an example that when my kids are all playing with kids in the neighborhood, they go like, "Oh, shoot, boy," and they go, "Boy," like that. And I want to be like, "Do you know?"
There's a lot behind that.
If I were to go into the history of what you're saying, that you got from just talking shit in video games.
Right.
you're going to get in fucking trouble.
You could.
For talking like this. Very well. Yeah. Saying this.
There's going to be problems later. Yeah.
And so I've told my kids, like, ease up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We can get into it or we can not get into it. I already had a really weird conversation.
You haven't given him a history lesson on it.
Because my kid loves Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And he literally, because of just knowing whatever, just school, whatever, he goes, he's watching the thing Clara do. And he's like, so she's not going to be in the show anymore? I was like, no, buddy, she's not. And I was like, teachable moment. If your bosses don't like what you say, they can fire you. Whereas I was like, if I were to mouth off and Penn didn't like what I said,
right.
Penn can fire me and say he doesn't want me to co-host his podcast anymore.
Exactly.
It's the way it goes. And he goes, did she say something racist? And I was like, yes. And then he's like, was it against black people? I go, like, no. And so I was like, okay, it's against Jewish people. And now we got to talk about the Holocaust.
Right.
So I ended up talking to my 7-year-old about the Holocaust.
And this is the story of how Matt hates watching The Mandalorian now.
No.
I don't.
You got to bring it up sometimes.
That's the thing. Like,
that's true.
All modern
just
parenting.
Unexpected. Just an unexpected time.
And you know what's fucked up? School ain't talking about it anymore.
But that's it.
I don't know what the fuck's going on with that. But there's crazy numbers about people who don't even know about it now.
I know.
It's a weird generational thing. Like, we watched Escape from Sobibor in my high school.
Yeah, and we read...
great movie, by the way.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Eli Wiesel's book.
And Read Anne Frank and all that thing.
Yeah, yeah. And what I remember finding out that people didn't believe in the Holocaust when I was in high school.
Right.
Like, and being like, what?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And
that's the thing. As much as, as people know, I grew up in the South down in Louisiana. And as much as Louisiana gets this, not an undeserved reputation for racism and whatnot through the years, there was very little anti-Semitism in the area that I grew up in, mainly because there were very few Jewish people there.
Right.
So it was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I remember as an adult finding out about Holocaust denial and that kind of thing. And it was like, oh, really? You guys think that, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You got a jerks, aren't you?
Yeah, it's like,
kind of.
Seems like you're just jerks.
That's just messed up.
Whew.
So, brother. Yeah. And so when all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to show you my YouTube clip. I was like, I hope he doesn't say anti-Semitic things. No, I wasn't worried about that. But I was like, oh, gosh.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
This is where
how
it can begin.
How many times
is
it saying boy?
Yeah. Yeah. Do I have to look at the comments section? Do I have to, like, figure out, you know, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff?
I think the answer is yes.
Well, sure.
I think you do. Yeah. I think as a parent now, you just do.
Yeah. And it's on his kids, this kid's,
sure.
This kid's parents are also all over his YouTube and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So it doesn't feel.
There's some monitoring going on.
It's more describing the feeling of like, oh, it got real. That's all
I'm
really
sure,
describing.
Yeah, sure.
I was like, oh shit, my kid is faces on the internet. And then all of a sudden it comes up and he's on there, but he's in just the corner.
Okay.
Oh, so his little face is on there.
His little face is on there, but we're pod friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they're indoors. So they're masked up. So my kid's in a mask. There's like a smudge on the camera. Like,
so you're not as worried.
You wouldn't be able to pick him up out of
it. No.
Not at all. So I was immediately relieved.
The facial recognition software is not picking him up.
Yeah. But it was just fine. And, yeah. And he was just whatever.
It's probably got
tens
of views.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Matt watched it 8 times.
I mean, not to say like we're getting all kind of crazy.
Crazy. Yeah, like, whereas we have hundreds.
Hundreds. Yes. Like, look out.
Not 200.
No, like 100 or so. We got a couple of videos that have cracked a grand, which is pretty cool, but nothing compared to a lot of the spots I watch.
No.
Like, but also, I don't want any part of that culture either, really. When you get that big, it gets really scary.
I have, whatever. My Foolish clip is big.
Yeah.
But it's a part of my, job.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that, like, it takes... I have to heavily curate that that thing,
ugh,
or it goes off the rails.
Yeah, see, I watch on YouTube on my television.
Yeah.
I never see comments.
Right.
I never even look at all the horribleness.
It is certainly taken, it's less of a factor than it used to be from a enjoyment of the medium.
Mm-hmm.
most people just go down YouTube hole after hole. It's about hopping from clip to clip now.
Yes.
And much less about, like, this is the clip on YouTube that I watch now. Now I will go into the comments about that clip, you know.
Right.
Which is how we used to enjoy YouTube.
Yeah.
But it's changed.
Yeah, I don't
do that. Even that, I mean, the amount of comments is so little compared to.
Yeah, I guess their algorithm requires it in a lot of ways to help bolster the channel itself. They want debate and chatter.
Well, this is the thing. So what I've noticed over the year or so that mine's been up, the Foolish clip.
Mm-hmm.
If the algorithm encourages the kind of conversation I want to encourage.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Like, I literally had to experiment with, like, pinning different comments to the top.
Oh, smart.
And then that changed
the dialogue.
The dialogue significantly.
Smart.
And then I started really engaging anyone who just want to have a good conversation.
Curation is key, man.
And then all of a sudden, those are the comments that show up.
Wonderful,
whatever.
Wonderful.
So knowing that there is an algorithm.
There is a way to do
it. I participate in it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, smart, smart, smart.
And
smart,
get results.
Smart. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just, it's a horror show for a lot of the other stuff. And because I am a nerd.
Yeah.
And I get into nerd topic stuff.
Yeah.
And I do like Star Wars rumors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I see those things about Cara Dune getting the kibosh.
Yeah, yeah.
And 90% of them on there are like, how dare Disney? What are they thinking? They're not listening to the fans.
Especially when Walt himself would be like, eh, maybe.
You know, that's a valid point. That's an absolutely valid point. She and he would
That's what she'd be saying.
Oh,
yeah. She should be like, if anyone should agree with me, it's Walt fucking Disney.
Yeah. I'd be giving him a hand job in Club 33. Hell, he'd be licking me out in Club 33.
Thaw him.
Yeah, thaw that motherfucker and let's solve this shit once and for all. Take little Walt off the ice block for a minute and let's get his 2 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's gross, and it makes me really sad that there's so much of that vitriol and stupidity within what used to be, because nerd culture went hardcore mainstream about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And the mainstream is awful.
Well, there's just so much out there, right?
Yes.
And I'm many minds about it too, because, she didn't apologize, but if she did, I get mad that doesn't count anymore. Do you know what I mean?
But then there's the guy
like
that
people,
was
people who apologize for stuff should get something more than the people who don't.
There
shouldn't be no difference between the people who apologize and the people who don't apologize.
There was something I was looking at. I didn't read deep into it, but there was some talk about how, like, there is no redemptive path in our current setup.
It isn't.
Right, right.
And that's bothersome to me.
Well, and it's troubling because then it does make people want to double down on their horribleness.
Which is exactly what
in some
Trump
ways.
Taught us to do.
Yeah.
Like, he was a master of never.
Never.
Look at hydrochloroquine and that kind of shit.
Yeah,
it's like it's
quadrupled
really,
down.
And that's it. We've learned that's the rules of engagement. And that's really not a good place to be. So should be, like I just talked about curating my YouTube comments. We should be trying to give some credit to people who see the error of their ways so that we encourage that part of the conversation. But there's no upside to it.
No, unfortunately, the people who have, like, even through this health crisis, the people who have seen what is and isn't working public policy-wise and have made adjustments and gone back and, you know, changed statements or said, okay, what I said here doesn't hold.
Right.
They just get crucified for it.
That is maddening. Right. Yeah.
And that's crazy. And that, unfortunately, that is science.
Exactly.
That's science. Science is I don't really know, but here's what our best idea is right now.
Yeah.
And then a month later you go, you know what our best idea was? It wasn't quite right.
We've learned stuff.
Now we've learned this. And it's like, what do you mean? You just said this. It's like,
and now I'm saying this.
Yeah, dipshit. Shit changes.
That's what I thought last week.
If we're exactly. going to keep figuring things out over time, I don't know why I'm getting up in the morning.
Right.
Fair enough.
Now, there is an argument to be made.
To stay in bed.
No.
I thought for sure that's where Paul was going.
No, we have this attitude so pervasive in our society.
Yeah.
Because of the inadequacy and lack of critical thinking taught within the school system.
Yeah, I mean,
it's baked in to be like, I learned that in 1492 Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and that's it. That's all I know, and he did it. And if you say he did anything different, I'm gonna rah rah rah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Because it's all rote memorization, not critical thinking.
You know who else?
Not as much.
You know who else does not have an active part in today's school system, but sure has a lot of opinions on it today? The following sponsor.
When you go on holiday, there is no finer achievement than doing absolutely nothing. Nothing on the beach, nothing by the pool. Walking kind of nowhere and chatting about nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight. So you can have a bit more money to go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing. Expedia. Made to travel.
It's me, Old Math Todd.
Hi, I'm New Math Jake.
Oh, New Math Jake. I hate you, New Math Jake.
What are you hating on me? Look. Here we go. I got five numbers here, right?
Yeah.
Look how they turn into one number.
I know, but then I like to do it where you put them all up in a column and you carry the ones and the twos and you figure it that way.
Just look at the ones with curlies. The ones that have curlies, those become squabs.
Squabs?
Yeah, and then when you add up the squabs, all you have to do is subtract the straightlings.
Straightlings?
Two kinds of numbers. Curlies and straightlings. Give me a number.
8.
That's a curly.
13.
That's a curly mixed with a straightling.
Okay.
63.
Those, that's a double curly.
Enter Hay Scoops checkout. Can't argue with that.
Can't argue with new math. No. Ted, what was it?
Curlies and straightlings.
Curlies and straightlings.
I'm completely won over. Did you see the high school basketball announcer?
Oh, dear.
Like last week or so?
Yes.
Well, by the way, yes. We should hold people accountable, but why are we all, how much of an audience does this guy have?
Well, but also, diabetes?
That's all I want to talk about.
Wilford Brimley was not racist.
Drop the N-bomb about a bunch of high school children.
High school girls.
Who knelt during the national anthem and blamed it on his diabetes.
That is true.
What?
That is true. I mean, yeah, it's the thing. It's crazy.
Said I've got low blood sugar. I'm super racist when I have low blood sugar.
It is really, I guess, it feels like a tide, right? So, I feel like when we were younger,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't come close to saying some of these racist things that a lot of people are just saying out loud at the moment in time.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, because we're all adjusting, basically because of new technology, new media landscape, mm-hmm. new access to information, this is what's creating it.
Mm.
People have thought this the whole time. Normally, you would never hear a basketball player playing a video game. But because of Twitch, you do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it counts as media.
Mm-hmm.
It counts as he said it to the world.
Yeah.
You know? So whatever repercussions he suffers...
Is that when he got God on a game?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's playing a game. Play a video game.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's where it lives.
Exactly, right? And so, but that thing, it's now we're figuring out how to fight back.
That's why.
And it's and it feels like we're letting up all these little sand crabs are wiggling in the sand. All these little races are like, wait, me? And you're like, yeah, you.
Yeah.
And you're how did I get caught in all
this? Right. I'm a sand crab.
I'm just a little racist.
A little baby racist.
Yeah, well.
Why am I? And it's like, because you got caught.
Yeah. Because you said it on the interwebs.
Well, but it's a good thing. It's all to the good.
We wouldn't be catching high school game announcers, but the internet,
it's all to the good, man.
Yeah.
It's all to the good. And that is one of the few benefits of our incredibly connected internet culture.
Well, yeah, because even like I'm hating the basically the way to fight it now is to double down and blame cancel culture. And I was like, I'm sick of cancel culture. Well, yeah, if we all took a poll, we'd all hate the word cancel culture and we'd all hate it.
Yeah.
And labeling anyone who attacks you as cancel culture implies that it is one thing operating one way all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not specific people who are upset at something you specifically did. Mm-hmm. And you should answer to those specific people who are trying to hold you to account one way or another.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so.
And they're trying to make it look like it's some brand new phenomenon.
Exactly.
When it comes down to it, it is driven by the capitalist system that we embrace. There's a reason that you cannot easily find a copy of Uncle Remus.
Right. We've been taking books off shelves
decades ago. You can still get it.
Yeah.
It's not gone per se.
Right.
But it's not being produced by Disney.
Right.
They're not churning them out of a factory.
Right.
You can find, but it's not gone either. That's
you can't
the thing.
Go to Walmart and get the DVD.
No, but you could. But if you really wanted to, you could get a physical, even media copy of it.
And Paul will reenact it for you if you just ask him. Paul will do it.
I do.
A one-man version of it.
I do a real great Brer Fox. That's my best character. But
you look the most like Brer Bear.
Whatever. go on Splash Mountain and tell me that. By the way, if you haven't read that article that guy wrote, God, that Splash Mountain.
What?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I got to share this article, the Splash Mountain thing with you. It's the funniest thing.
Is it a Medium article?
Nope.
Okay.
It's a comedy piece.
Then I'll read it.
It's a comedy piece about going on Splash Mountain, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever read in my life.
Okay.
Like, put me to tears.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Let me uncover my Medium hatred for a moment.
Why?
Only because I feel like
you don't like
write
Patricia
it.
Arquette.
No, I get a bunch of newsletters. I like getting a bunch of newsletters in the morning, and so mixed in with, Wall Street Journal, Dispatch, Las Vegas Review Journal, New York Times, Washington Post. I get one breakdown from Medium. So when I'm casually going through my emails, just going over the headlines, I'll see outlandish headlines and be like, "What the fuck?"
Right,
and then go like, "Oh, it's me. It's just some
fucking
person.
Medium.
Just Medium. Just some. It's just. It's not.
It's man. It's old man yells at cloud.
It's not an institution of journalism taking on this issue.
No.
It's whatever.
It's somebody getting paid per click over at Medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh. And so I get like, oh, you fucking.
You're right to have a knee jerk Medium reaction. You're right. Now, the crisscross of cancel culture, nerd culture, video game culture, and all that toxic fandom.
And mixed with trying to fire a flare in Antarctica, like trying to find a way to get heard.
Yeah.
In this modern era.
Right.
So you have to put all of your stuff in its most outlandish.
Right. You try and frame stuff
candy
like,
shell. Mm-hmm. In order to get people to take a look at it.
Well, we've had an interesting development this week.
Yeah.
We had something of a peak nerd moment.
Mm-hmm.
The Snyder Cut hit. And I will say, to his credit, he spoke out against some YouTubers that were being horrendous around the topic of the movie and different stuff. So he came out and was like, "You're being awful."
Yeah.
Rob Schneider really let him have it.
It's like, don't get vaccinated and leave my movie alone.
And I will also say, to his credit,
I can't believe we didn't think about Rob Schneider last time.
The Snyder Cut is better.
It's not quite there, but it's close enough.
It's a lot better.
It is.
Oh, you watched it?
I watched the whole thing yesterday in chunks. It's 4 hours long.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, of course it's better because it's everything.
like a buffet is better than like a...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Than a sandwich.
Yeah.
You could either have a buffet or you could have this sandwich.
And, that's just it. Yeah. And that's just it. Like it's the kitchen fucking sink. There's so much that that wasn't in the other movie.
Okay.
So much.
That's what always baffles me. As someone was around the Kevin Smith era in Red Bank, New Jersey, and Final Draft coming out, and like you got to have like a page equals a minute, and that's the way the format is. And you know, when you go to people for money, you show them this amount of script.
How could this amount of script even get to that point?
That's what I wonder when you describe what you're describing.
I don't know.
Then what script existed? And who was handing it out? And like, where were these pages?
Right. There's stories.
Because the actors who play this part got a script and got these scenes with it in it. Did they see 300 pages?
I want to look more into it. Probably not. Only get piecemeal.
That must be the case. Or otherwise,
they just get it and say like, oh, we're going to shoot all of this and it's going to get edited down to 120 minutes.
But also, they don't even give the cast the whole thing.
Even movies I love.
But somebody has that script.
That's what I'm curious about.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like that script has to exist.
Yeah, I guess.
In most traditional environments, there is at the very least a shooting script that someone is in charge of holding on to.
Yeah.
And you know, making sure they're knocking out whatever pages a day.
Yeah.
Right.
And that kind of stuff.
And there's new stuff that was filmed.
Right. And I get all that. And I've been on the script roles and they go like, hey, we have time. Let's shoot blank.
It's been
curious about blank. Or directors sit around and go like, you know what? I feel like this thing is now that I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
I feel like the audience can be curious about blank and we have nothing to justify blank. We need a shot of this.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that all happen. But when you're talking about hours of well-lit scenes with famous people in them.
Yeah.
Right.
All dressed to the nines.
It is shocking. It's shocking.
Like, that's crazy amount.
You've got Jason Momoa up there.
Yeah.
In his body paint.
That's what I mean. Like, this wouldn't have seen the light of day?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's shocking. And I mean, that's why it's so, like, you after watching it, you're like, well, yeah, you might as well use all that. Yeah. Jiminy, jumped up Christmas.
A movie I love, Anchorman. I mean, Anchorman is actually this weird cut of a larger movie that didn't get down. And I'm like, they had a whole other movie of stuff you didn't see.
Yeah. Have you seen that? The longer stuff?
I haven't watched it.
It doesn't really.
Right. There's a reason why it came out the way
better.
It did. There's a reason why decisions were made.
But there is some funny stuff in there. But yeah.
Totally. But I just think, like, what was it like? Because, like, for instance, Maya Rudolph was, like, you know, in the trailer for it and, she, all of a sudden she's not in the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, she was like, I shot like not like two scenes. I shot like seven.
Yeah.
You know, like
she's like, I was there for a week.
Like I did a lot of things.
Yeah. Right.
Like, and I'm Maya fucking Rudolph.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like which I'm sure she doesn't think. Speaking for her.
That's how she introduces herself.
Maya fucking Rudolph. With a cigar and a firm handshake.
Video game culture, man.
I'm just confused.
Y'all ready to play some Halo?
I'm Maya fucking Rudolph.
So that's just it. Like watching this movie.
Yeah.
Just all that extra time. And there's still no Green Lantern.
Still can't get him in there.
Well, it's like the Justice League is seven heroes. You have six.
Oh, there are six in the movie?
Yeah. You spent 4 hours. You couldn't they put a primitive Green Lantern in it.
Yeah.
Who gets killed in an old, spoilers, who gets killed in an old fight.
Uh-huh.
He's in it for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
No dialogue. And
is
alien.
Is it Ryan Reynolds?
No.
And as soon as Snyder put that back in, he took the post-it note that said Green Lantern off of the wall and crumbled it up and threw it in the garbage.
I think that's it though too, right?
Check.
Like they didn't They didn't want to go like that's a whole nother thing. And yet Martian Manhunter shows up.
Oh, the green guy.
Yeah.
The green bald guy,
right?
The
Green Lantern. Yeah.
Yeah.
John Jones. And that's awesome. But they've done that. And it's a huge payoff from other movies too. And I'm like, why would that not have been in the
why would that have made the actual?
Why did that not have been the movie? That's great. And there's a lot of that. That's the thing about the movie. Like, it's way long.
Yeah.
It's way long. But there are
some would argue too long.
There are significant
I'm
moments.
I'm part of that sum.
There are significant moments that really pay off.
Yeah.
As a whole, it still doesn't hold up completely. It's very wobbly on its legs.
Sure.
But it makes you really like The Flash.
Oh, good.
Okay.
He shines in this film.
So there's enough positive side effects from it that it might actually buttress some other things
like
what going
I've,
forward.
The little stuff that I've read so far, I haven't really deep dived. It just came out.
Yeah.
But I went hard nerd. I watched that and Winter Soldier and Falcon yesterday.
Oh, the new TV show.
The new TV show. I was like, I'm going in.
Yeah. Oh, is that on Disney Plus?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm getting my full geek cred, which is, and Winter Soldier, Falcon the Winter Soldier is an hour long episode and it's just tight, solid, huge character arcs, moments of like, ooh.
Really?
Like, and I just watched it and I was like, Marvel just knows.
Wait.
They just Kevin Feige just knows.
That's all great.
Feige, I guess.
You watched 5 hours of superhero movies yesterday?
At least. Yeah. Yeah. Not my first time.
Okay.
I went and watched that when Lord of the Rings did their reboot.
Yeah.
When they came out with the final movie and they had a day of Lord of the Rings. They showed both
the Lord of the Ring-a-thon.
They had both of the extended versions theatrically for the first two films and then the brand new movie which had not.
Oh, right. So it was like 12 hours
it was
of Lord of the Rings. 12-hour
plus Lord of the Rings.
That the last hour and a half is just slow motion footage from the dock at the end.
That thing. I mean, honestly, you wanted to kill yourself.
It was unbearable.
Now I'm going to board the ship. In a moment, I will be boarding the ship.
That was the longest day.
I have begun to think about boarding the ship.
If I got to see Rudy blink one more time.
So that's what I'm saying. I took breaks on the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
I took real breaks. I've watched it in like four different segments. So
okay.
I had some time.
Yeah.
So I couldn't marathon it straight through. But I'm
so it wasn't good enough that you could just sit and watch it.
No, not for
that's what I just heard. That's what I just
4 hours. It's a long fucking movie.
Not even for 2 hours.
It's.
I will treat.
I'm
it
pleasantly
like,
surprised. It's better than it was. What it was absolute trash.
Right.
When I saw Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet at a big fancy New York movie theater with an intermission, you know, we got dressed up, it's on a big theater. I will treat the Snyder Cut the same way. We will have a refined intermission.
Same outfit.
He has it broken up into parts.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, there are interlude moments where it's like part four, this, part one, you know. And so
it's like Superman lands, superhero pose. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Kind of. It's not.
Let's all go to the lobby. Green Lantern was over there.
I'm actually disappointed that they didn't do a nice intermission piece. But I guess they went like, if we put an intermission in here, this is going to be 5 hours. It's going to be 4.5 hours.
HBO is already telling us to go fuck ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
We're already knocking on a thing.
And I think that's it.
Everyone knows how to push pause now.
If they were to release this theatrically, it would have had an intermission. No two ways about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, exactly. It's just a different thing with the digital age. But, like I said, it just fleshes out. It fleshes out Barry Allen. It fleshes out Cyborg.
Cyborg.
Yep. He's way more of an interesting character than before. Fleshes out the bad guys, adds bad guys, makes it more coherent in many, many ways. It's far more watchable film.
Barbara Gordon? Any Barbara Gordon in it?
Not in it.
Nope. Damn it.
Nope. Jim Gordon's in it.
Okay.
It's J.K. Simmons, which is crazy.
Oh, good casting.
But now he's Commissioner Gordon and he's J. Jonah Jameson. My head is exploding.
Who's J. Jonah Jameson?
Peter Parker's boss at the Daily Bugle.
But that's a whole different. That's like two Spider-Man franchises ago.
Oh, I think he came back, didn't he?
I have no idea. I didn't watch any of the new ones.
I guess Parker's not working for the Bugle yet on the Far From Home. Right. He's still
Matt.
A young kid. There's rumors he's coming back. Well, the new one's going to have all the old Spideys.
The fucking medium of the Ice Cream Social over there.
The new one's going to have all the old Spideys. But anyway, so the one thing
I think it's funny that you're mad at J.K. Simmons could play two different parts of two different superhero universes. It's the only movies they're making, Paul.
Right? I'm not mad.
Guy's got to get a nibble.
I'm not mad.
He's J.K. fucking Simmons.
Yeah, right. He's got to get
He can't write another Harry Potter book.
What should you not work?
first of all, Farmers Insurance, that drum movie with Dipshit McGee.
Go on.
Which is definitely how it's known to the world.
Good yep. Lord, that fucking drum movie.
I definitely know what you're talking about.
Did you see
about.
That?
No.
What are you talking about?
He won an Oscar for playing a militant drum teacher.
Oh, I don't even know about this.
I know. It was a while ago, which is why Paul thinks he shouldn't work again.
No. Dipshit McGee is the young kid. The young kid who, he fucked up the new Fantastic Four. He didn't fuck it up. That whole thing, that was just a fucking mess. Whatever. That's, all right.
We're swimming, buddy.
That's Fox when it was falling apart. Fantastic Four is coming back bigger, better than ever.
Okay.
I can't wait. You know, no, I don't begrudge J.K. Simmons a minute's work. He can do anything he wants.
Agreed.
I'm just talking from my head. Yeah. It's a bit of a swoosh, swoosh.
Yeah.
But, again, to his credit, he doesn't act like J. Jonah Jameson when he's being Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
At all. And his hair is very different.
I can honestly None of say, it
is. And his hair is very different.
I can honestly say I don't care about any of that.
I want to hear Paul break down. Just someone pull up J.K. Simmons' IMDb just page by hair. And let Paul cook.
Yeah, I'd go.
Hair different.
What's that?
What was that movie called? The drum movie. What is it called?
I don't know.
Snapped, snare.
Ensnared.
Ensnared, tempo, drums. Anyway,
I think
here's the bigger point.
Whiplash. Like yes. That's Frozen it. Cusser.
Whiplash.
You were so close.
The bigger thing, that this Snyder Cut kind of dangles is fixing shit. Like, this is as big of a swing. This is a bigger swing, in fact, I would say, than the Star Wars remasters, the special editions. This is bigger because this really changes the timber and content of a film drastically. And the fact that it's on HBO, it makes me hopeful that they will redo the entirety of the final season of Game of Thrones.
They're definitely not going to do that.
Okay. Mark this down. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see if they
Where's
don't.
Where's my marker?
I bet they will.
Yeah. Get your marker out.
March 19th.
It might be a long time, but I think they might change it up.
Speaking of dates.
Oh, shit.
Paul, what are you doing on April 28th, 2021? Sorry, 2022.
Experimenting with mouthfeel with different popcorns.
Yes.
Nailed it. Because that's the kickoff day to Scoop Fest.
That's right. April 28th, 29th, 30th?
Yep.
April 28th, 29th, 30th. We are Scoop Festing it.
Scoop Fest at the Orleans Hotel and Casino.
The Orleans Hotel and Casino.
We wanted to move it one last time to give people consideration for travel, saving up.
And this is it. Barring another pandemic, this is it.
Barring another pandemic, yeah. We're doing it too, because basically you're either coming to this Scoop Fest or the next one is what's happening.
Right.
We need to put the one that we're doing up already.
Yeah.
This is the Snyder Cut of Scoop Fest, finally.
So we're going to get the tickets up on the website. You can go to orleanscasino.com/groups.
Yeah.
And you can that's groups with an S, and you can use the offer code.
Oh, Paul came up with this one. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Paul came up with this custom code.
SCFD22C. Now, Paul, tell us what that stands for.
S is
SCF.
Superman.
Yep. C.
Catwoman.
F.
What's an F?
Frodo Baggins.
Fast Flash. Oh, Flash.
Flash.
Yeah.
D.
Superman, Catwoman, Flash.
D, Darkseid.
The number 22.
22 is the amount of minutes that were added 5 times.
to the Snyder Cut.
And, of course, the letter C.
Catwoman again.
Dueling Catwoman.
So there you go. I hope someone can draw that for us. That is our code.
And whoever draws that, make Anne Hathaway Catwoman and Halle Berry Catwoman fighting.
Oh, make it Julie Newmar.
Nope. I've already called it.
All right.
But yeah, so you can call.
Two Julie Newmars, please.
You can call over the Orleans and book reservations today. If you made reservations already.
They have been moved.
They've been moved.
That's where I was going next. Yep. Yeah. So your reservations have automatically been moved to those other dates. However many days you had, because they're the same days of the week, so whatever days of the week you had booked before, they have automatically been moved. If you don't want them to be moved, give the Orleans a call, and I'll give you a phone number here. It's 800-675-3267. That's 800-675-3267. Give them a call and tell them that you don't want those days moved, that you still want to come in November when you were planning on coming before. If you just are planning on coming to Vegas anyway, then if you already have tickets to Scoop Fest, you still have those tickets. If you already had tickets to the Whiskey Barbecue, you already have those tickets. Whatever tickets you had before, you already have them. And yeah.
And we have listeners who also listen to Night Attack. And Night Attack is also playing an event in April. And if you're wondering whether we thought about that, we did.
Yes.
And
so did they.
And so did they. So we will, Night Attack will be doing their event on a different weekend. I don't know if they've announced yet, so that, but they have their date set, and then our dates do not conflict with those. Yeah.
Are we going to travel between here and?
I believe we will be at both.
Everybody's going to go to both.
I think so.
I believe so.
That's the hope and the plan.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Because it will be fucking awesome.
Now was the Whiskey Barbecue? Was that on? Because it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday is Scoop Fest. Was the Whiskey Barbecue on Thursday or was it on Wednesday? It was on Thursday, right?
It was on Thursday.
Because we were going to do a bucket show on Wednesday.
We're doing a bucket show on Wednesday.
Yeah, so bucket show is the unofficial
kickoff.
Always
the unofficial start, and that's because people who don't go to Scoop Fest don't come out to see the bucket show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's not part of the...
And then we'll do the Whiskey Barbecue on Thursday afternoon, evening. Then we'll have the big kickoff on Thursday night. And then Friday is the big... If you just buy the main ticket, Friday is the big kickoff day on that.
Yeah. And we're doing our variety shows, comedy shows. I think we'll do multiple improv shows this year. We want to up the entertainment. We'll do some live podcasts, but only if we think it's fun, like a movies with Mikey Quizbal or something like that. Really into doing a little less podcast listening during the day and more just kind of fun event worthy stuff. And then,
we're going to make it less of a podcast convention
and more of a community festival. Basically, it's only Scoops coming. That's what we've learned from all the Scoop Fest. It's only Scoops who come. So we're not trying to do the big umbrella with all these other podcasts. We're going to make it fun for our community.
There's talk of doing just a separate podcast festival. But that'll be its own thing.
But like, you know,
that would be fun to do.
I'm excited for Side Hustle to participate in this year's Scoop Fest.
I'm excited for one of them to participate. Stay down, Sarah Lowe.
Yeah.
We'll have Night Attack. And
we'll figure out, you know, we talked about this and we'll announce it all, but we talked about like leaving the floor open for people to do live recordings.
Yeah.
Like in different pockets of the convention thing. So, you know, hoping that our friends from Pod Therapy and other listeners, a lot of our listeners have their own podcast now. So we're just hoping to kind of make that a kind of cool free for all thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of give that space to people. But, and if you have any other ideas, let us know. But
we're super excited about that.
I still want to get player one out here.
Nope.
Yes.
Yep.
That's two votes. Two votes for Cass right there.
Mm-hmm. Vetoed.
I love player one.
No, they're great.
We'll figure it all out.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's in there. That's in the books. And, check out Orleans Casino. OrleansCasino.com/groups. Offer code SCFD22C.
And it also means people on Twitch, this is not true yet, but people listening to this is true, that tickets will be back up for sale on our website.
That's true.
We'll be selling tickets again to Scoop Fest.
Yep. Unless you're listening to us live on Twitch at thebucketshow.com right now. In which case, they're not.
They're not. But we're really excited. I'm so excited.
I'm excited that everything's going to be at the Orleans.
Yes.
Just a big, like you sleep.
Stay
there,
at the Orleans. Stumble down from your hotel room down to the Scoop Fest, and
we
then
almost pulled off
at
the Orleans
up.
Years ago, and it was going to be so exciting, and then it fell through.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we had it all put together, and then the pandemic hit. So this is a long time coming.
A long journey.
Because basically, like we were starting all the events later, knowing full well that we were in walking distance of McMullen's.
Right.
That was basically. A huge move was to be in walking distance of McMullen's pub.
Yeah.
And then knowing that should bump everything up 2 hours from where we begin doing.
Oh, God.
I have thought several times over the last couple of weeks, I need to swing by McMullen's on the way home and just grab some Irish nachos to go. and I keep not doing it, tonight might be the night.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Anne was craving those the other day. We might do that over her weekend here.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about it. You know what else I'm excited about?
What's that?
Hearing from our listeners.
Message for you, son.
Listening from our hearingers.
So close.
We have one here from the great and powerful Anonymous.
Should we call him our hearingers?
Yeah, from now on, yeah. Much better than Scoops.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's
hearingers.
No, Scoops is
I don't think people really know what we're talking about.
The hearingers.
Our hearing ship. Yeah.
Oh, it's a boat.
Gentle persons of the churn, add me to those who broke off with a personal care professional that I considered a friend. I was with my manicurist weekly since 2011.
Here we go.
Until a year ago when the pandemic shut down nail salons. Over the years, she has said that she didn't get the flu vaccine and instead took vitamins and never got the flu. I am staunchly pro-immunization since I lost my boss to the flu, a doctor under age 60 who had multiple melanoma. Also, I am a microbiologist. And I served on a federal pandemic task force. She has been posting occasional right-wing things on Facebook, but laughed them off as taunting her right-wing family members. With the pandemic and election, she began reposting at least 6 memes a day, calling the pandemic a fraud and supporting right-wing philosophy and denigrating scientists and Democrats.
I don't understand this on just the conduct level. Like, I will post a meme a day at most. Like, if I go, oh, I should share that too, I kind of go, oh, I've already done a thing today.
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, turning your social media into, like, a landing platform for a singular idea.
Right.
I don't share many memes.
No,
I mean, you know, I was moved. Like, our friend Lisa,
I will share a good video.
Wrote a very good
personal. Oh man, that was heartbreaking.
Personal perspective of growing up as a half Asian person in this country.
Okay,
and so I was like, oh great, I feel shitty staying silent. I also feel like I have nothing valid to say.
Right, yep.
My friend has written this wonderful thing.
I will share this.
I will share it.
I will
so
live, when I saw it,
but that's not a not a meme.
No, but I also, like, if I came across other goods...
Matt made it into a meme.
Oh, I did. I added Scooby-Doo to it.
and a chimp.
And then...
Scooby-Doo and Woodstock talking about Asian hate. That's what we need. Let's get it right.
No, but I guess it means maybe the wrong words, but because of that, I saw a lot of other...
But you shared something, yeah.
I saw other also effective stuff about Asian hate, right? Yep. I go, like, I've already shared Lisa's... breakdown.
Yeah.
I don't want to just
put a deluge out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's diminishing returns. It feels more effective if I share just one.
You made one strong statement.
Perspective on this.
At least for the day, let it sit.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, I understand being passionate. I don't understand just, like, flooding your own feed with
stuff.
Yeah. Like, just from an eyeballs level, like, you're going to get hidden. You're going to get blocked. You're going to. I mean, it's just not. It's diminishing returns for what you're trying to do.
This is ultimately you still hating Medium.
Oh, sir.
I will read one article about The Bachelor. I will not read 6.
I've had to keep her on snooze ever since. I won't go back to the nail salon until I have antibiotics in any or any antibodies in any case. But we had been friends, and I donated to her medical needs over the years. By the way, she said that she wants.
How could she need medical needs?
She takes vitamins.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, she said that she had once read the Riot Act.
Vitamins.
She had once read the Riot Act to Penn for one. Wondering about the hair salon where she worked in Las Vegas, talking atheism. Maybe wandering is the right word. Talking atheism to the other clients while getting his hair tinted. Teller, however, was always a gentleman. Okay. So I had been discreet in not discussing what a fan I am of Penn as well as Teller.
Gentlemen don't talk atheism.
And my own Facebook feed was full of CDC info and people and telling people to be safe. Yeah. So yeah, Anonymous had to break off with their manicurist.
Yeah, well,
tough all
I
over.
I guess you can file that friendship away.
That's just the French tip of the iceberg.
I guess she's nothing but a memory board now.
I hope it doesn't get cold in that manicurist place. Otherwise, you'll have to put on a clear coat.
Oh, dear.
we have to talk about it. It's just people shooting the shit.
I think she got a little confused about her job title.
What's that?
Manicurist. That doesn't mean you can fix viruses.
Curing man.
Madame Curie.
Oh, nice. Madame She's
a,
Curious.
A Madame Curious.
There we go.
You can get radiated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. There's been, that's been a big thing with this pandemic. It has shifted a lot of friendships. It has tested a lot of family relations. It's hard. It's been a hard time. Especially if you go wandering into nail salons talking atheism.
Also, again, if it weren't for social media, you would not, you wouldn't have this relationship to this person. You know, like, might get a manicure, and then once in a while, they might bring up something to make you like, whatever.
Right.
And you'd leave, and you wouldn't think about them and their opinions until you went back to get a manicure.
Yeah.
Now, because of social media, you leave, and then all of a sudden, they're in your face with a bunch of ideas that's tainting your ability to go back.
Get the hint, medium.
And at worst, you
get
could.
The hint.
And at worst, you could laugh it off.
You're not a journalist.
You're journalist.
And really, at worst, you could just laugh it off as like, oh yeah, my batshit manicurist.
I bet you there's a bunch of listeners who do write articles on Medium.
You've won the comes. Day. You're gonna get exactly what you wanted.
What was it? Medium content. Who's the guy down in Texas? The guy who ran down in Texas against Ted Cruz.
Brian Brushwood.
No.
Popular man of the moment.
Beto
O'Rourke.
That's it.
Beto was publishing on Medium, and then turned down legit media offers to take
money. To stay on Medium.
And he's like, no, I'll just keep writing and publishing on Medium.
Huh.
Yeah.
Man of the people.
Man of the people. Hates money, that guy.
I guess so.
I can't blame him. What good has it done?
Oh, I have no actual opinion on it. It was a fun fact.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's time for Jock versus Nerd.
Finally.
Medium.
It's time for me to get even with you two.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I don't.
Because today, I'm taking this shit serious.
I give myself absolutely no chance.
Are you lowering your odds before we start?
Yeah. I spent 5 hours watching superhero shit yesterday. I don't know anything relevant.
Snyder Cut is all right. Four categories.
Justice League, the Snyder Cut.
Oh, I clean up. And it'd be awesome.
We have an epic scoop ready coming to us today.
Oh, no.
From Queer Atlas. Thank you for that pronunciation guide for your name.
It's gonna take 4 hours to do this one. It's an epic one.
It might be worth it.
Van Gelion.
Oh, I wasn't wrong.
Yep.
It's we'll see. We'll see.
We will see.
Van Gel or Gel.
Yep. Gelion.
And then Lion.
Evangelion.
Matt, you're up first. What do you want?
I'm hoping that the category is actually Lion, and I'll take Lion for 200. Okay.
It should be.
This lion patriarch is played by James Earl Jones.
Oh, what was it? Is it the musical Cats?
Uh-huh.
Mephistopheles.
That's it. Mr. Mephistopheles.
Mufasa.
I also would have accepted the king from Coming to America with his big lion thing that was not made of velvet.
Mufasa is a Jellicoe cat, for sure.
It is Mufasa. Paul,
ooh,
your turn.
Mufasa. Say it again.
Mufasa.
Ooh.
Mufasa. 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 I'll take... Eve.
For 200. Rapper and actress Eve had a sitcom from 2003 to 2006 on UPN. What was its title?
Even rappers get the blues.
It wasn't Living Single.
Agreed.
That was earlier.
If we're going to list things that it wasn't, it's much easier.
Yeah. Well, on UPN, I think, was
Living Stargate.
Was Living Single on UPN?
Nope.
Pass, I don't remember.
I'll pass as well. Matt?
I watch no UPN.
All right. Eve.
Oh, well, that's...
There we go.
Where'd they come up with that?
I don't know.
She's the one that yeah, good for her.
I'll try Van for 200. This character lives in a van down by the river. Well, I bet Chris Farley doesn't count, huh?
That's not the character.
Nope. Yeah, I have no remembrance of the name of that character. I got to pass. Matt.
Oh, it goes to me?
Yeah.
I know his first name.
Okay.
It's mine. It's Matt.
Okay.
I forget if he had a last name or not.
All right.
He does.
Okay.
But I can't recall it right now.
Okay.
All right.
Then I'm going to go with Matt.
All right. Matt Foley.
Matt Foley.
That's it. I'm giving it to you, Matt.
Yeah.
Matt Foley.
And Matt, you're up.
I'll take anything with Chris Farley in it. let's see what gel's all about, Jacob.
For 200. This antibacterial gel that we've all had to become far too familiar with over the last year.
Is there like a hand sanitizer?
I think that's it.
I think that's it. It is hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer.
Hand Paul, you're up.
Sanitizer. I have got some crap on my fingers. Now I need to wipe it away. There's no sink and no running water. Guess I need some gel on the way. Hand sanitizer. Hand sanitizer. Hand sanitizer. I'm an astronaut. I can shower. I need to be clean in an hour. Hand sanitizer. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Sade, get on it. If she re-recorded hand sanitizer,
she'd kill it.
Also, Weird Al, do it.
Do it.
Because the time is right.
Let's be the first people to give Weird Al a suggestion for a song.
Well, yeah. let's also be the first people to say, now is the time for a Sade cover. 2021. Let's get that Sade back. I'll take Lion, please.
For 400.
I bet this is Voltron.
This city has sports teams named after lions and tigers, but no bears. Oh, my.
Detroit.
Detroit Rock City. That's it. Detroit Lions play what sport?
Football.
Detroit Tigers play what sport?
Baseball.
Nailed it. Let's see. I'll try gel for 400. Unlike Paul, this gel doesn't actually come from Kentucky.
Kentucky ointment.
Come on. This is a layup. Like the basketball game. You wouldn't know because you're dry bone.
Oh, KY. That's funny. That's funny. And good hit. Matt.
Old dry bone Smith.
That's it.
Dry bone Smith. He didn't get those lube questions. No. He ain't gonna get no lube.
I don't even know.
He couldn't even find a lube. He couldn't find a lube in the lube.
I'll take Lion for 600.
For 600, this Massachusetts politician was known as the Lion of the Senate. His brothers include a president and an attorney general.
Oh, also Mufasa.
Mufasa.
Yeah, Mufasa.
Yep, Mufasa is correct.
It's Ted Kennedy.
Ted Kennedy, that's it.
Hey, Mufasa, hey, come underwater.
Paul, your turn.
My date's underwater.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Too soon for a Chappaquiddick joke?
Chappaquiddick date is underwater. No, it's perfect timing. Between Chappaquiddick and Sade, we are on the pulse. Let's go. Let's go Lion.
For 800.
Hard hitting today's fresh journalism. You know what?
Take that, Medium.
Let's write a Medium article. Guys, it's time for Sade and Chappaquiddick.
This giant robot doesn't contain the soul of your dead mother, but it is made up of 5 different robot lions.
Voltron!
Oh, you were right.
I don't get the part about the dead mother. The soul of the dead mother.
That's Evangelion. Spoiler! Oh,
of course.
You are, and that's actually, Penn got advice before going on Celebrity Jeopardy.
Oh?
And the advice was what you just said. Which is when you hear a category and you know like two things of that category.
Keep guessing it.
That it's going to be, chances are it's going to be one of those, so just wait. Like those chances are those questions going to pop up and just make sure you just nail those ones that you definitely know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So you did, you played accurate Jeopardy right there.
Look at me. Well done. Playing accurate Jeopardy.
Become legend, young boy. It's my turn. I'm going gel for 600. These little packets say do not eat, but the contents are non-toxic and chemically inert. The problem is the packet, which if eaten unopened, is a choking hazard.
Oh, interesting.
It's those little packets of gel that absorb moisture.
I know. What are they called?
Do I have to have another name for it than that?
Yeah. It's called
silica?
That's it. Silica packets.
Yeah, silica gel. There we go.
Yeah.
It's actually the name of my my band.
Ah, there you go.
I made a very rough lube for extra friction called silica putty.
God damn it.
That's when you want a handy job that just reminds you of a half-toothed nickel lady around the corner. Going to really.
You used to be married to a concrete block and you miss it.
I can't go into a Lowe's.
Van.
It's... all my old dating history comes up.
Of all the places.
This shoe brand started as the Van Doren Rubber Company.
Hmm. The category. Oh, is it Vans?
Gotta be.
That'd be my guess. It's Vans. I was going to laugh really hard if you missed that. Paul.
Let's go with Van.
For 600. Daily double.
Man.
Oh, boy. I could win it all right here.
Or you could lose it all.
That's true.
For 1200 now, the Grumman LLV is a van made for which U.S. government agency?
Van, I wish I was your lover.
The Grumman LLV is a van made for which government agency? The Department of the Interior.
The FBI.
All right. The United States Postal Service.
Oh, boo.
Oh.
And Paul plummets into third place.
It's the, okay.
It's me. I'm going Van for 800. This character is Shinji's caretaker. She doesn't drive a van, but rather a cool blue Renault Alpine 110.
That car is fire. She drives it hard, too.
Is this from Evangelion?
It sure is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Matt!
Oh, Shinji's caretaker.
Yep.
I know the other one's caretaker.
Yep. I can't think of her name.
I'm going to pass.
Yeah.
Misato.
Domo Arigato.
Misato Katsura... that.
Kataragi.
Yep, that's it. Matt, your turn.
Gel 800.
Yeah, Shinji lives with her. Gel for 800. Evangelion's entry plugs are full of this gel, which connects your nervous system to your Ava. What is hair gel?
Umbilical?
Kind of.
I'm going to pass.
Paul.
LCL.
LCL is correct. And Paul, you're up.
Four, six, or
400. A robot named Eve is sent to a trashed Earth to search for signs of plant life in which 2008 movie?
Wall-E
is it?
Eve. Oh my son was on the kick of watching that for a while. Such a good movie.
I have a friend of mine bought me the talking Eve and Wall-E.
Yeah,
that chat with each other.
Ah,
they're adorable.
That good is story. Adorable. That sounds
it's
adorable.
Really, it's really cool. Eve has a LED face that lights up and changes, and Wall-E moves and shakes and he's all
cool.
Oh, Eve.
I'm going Eve for 600 or 800. In Hebrew folklore, this character, rather than Eve, was Adam's first wife. In Evangelion, she is still very alive and kept prisoner in Nerve's basement.
Don't ask Miles Leonard.
Beep, 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 beep. Smooth operator.
Is it Rebecca?
Rebecca.
Lilith. I was so close.
Lilith Fair.
Yep, I was so close. Right there. Matt, you're up. Oh, it comes out the category and the game. Eve for 600. Daily double.
Oh, shit. Oh, you can take it all.
No, for, you can win if you get this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We know how this is going to go.
This woman was the most recent common female ancestor to all living humans.
Joan Rivers.
That's it. Oh, what was her name? Oh, I know it.
I know it too.
Let's see.
This was a discovered fossil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucy?
That's it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Oh, no, we're all wrong. Mitochondrial Eve.
Mitochondrial Eve.
I put that on my crotch and it cleaned up a lot of rashes and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know if that helped or not.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good. Mitochondrial Eve.
We all,
for that not so fresh.
Paul, we all thought Lucy on that, right?
I thought Lucy.
Yeah, I did too.
Mitochondrial Eve.
That's the game. Paul crushed us with 2,000 points. I'm in second with 200 points. And Matt just now went to zero. Sorry about that, Matt.
Next time, I lost it
all and I got it back.
You did. And that's from Queer at Last. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the Evangelion questions.
And thank you so much
butt.
For the pronunciation of your name.
And thank you for nothing. Cost me the fucking game. Mitochondrial Eve.
Mitochondrial Eve.
Now I have to Google stuff. just jokes. Thanks for writing and thanks for the awesome scooperty.
Thank you so much. If you want to send in a scooperty, head over to heyscoops.com and there in one of the tabs, I forget which one, but one of the tabs, there is a make a scooperty. And you can also send us a scoop mail from that same website.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it. Do it, Mountain Dew.
There's a thread on Twitter about people being self-conscious about writing us emails.
Yeah.
Don't.
Send them in.
Don't be. We love it.
We like it.
And I would rather have a nervous email. Nothing better.
Yeah. I want to thank Ben Gillette for creating this podcast.
Thanks, Ben.
I also want to thank Acting Ensign Wesley Scooper.
Acting Ensign Wesley Scooper.
That's a good name.
That's a good one. Shut up, Wesley Scooper. I want to give a big thanks to King Scooper, who scoops a poopa.
I want to thank Jeff Libby, who's King Bibby, baby.
Big thanks to Scoop Fox, who's from the School of Hard Knocks.
Jeffrey Conkle, who's a bare-knuckle boxing champion.
Thanks to Kit Hammer, who's spending 8 years in the slammer.
Yeah. Thanks to Jennifer Grayson, who's still out there racing.
Canadian Scoop Crystal is like a heat-seeking mistal.
Jeremy Hudson is got some fun, son. Yeah, nailed it.
Kurt Egner composing music like Wagner.
Huh.
Jesse Rain ain't afraid no pain.
Kyla Lansbury. Yep.
The Cincy Scoop ain't no wincy scoop.
She's going to have a whole bucket of raspberry. Milk leg scoop. Milk leg!
Is that AC/DC?
Yeah.
All right. John Bilderback, out in the Wilderback. It's the outback and wilderness in one area.
Apple scoop, not a crapple scoop.
John Dulong, too good, too long.
Astro scoop, you hastro scoop.
Jonathan Nagy, my little baby.
Matt G, that's who I like to see.
Jordan Campbell, hit you in the head with a lamp pole.
Who that scoop? Well, whoop-de-bloop, gloop.
You know who's got all my Karen? The Red Baron.
Mike and Tracy Nielsen make way for charcuterie.
Jason Paul Riro also make room for charcuterie.
There's always room for charcuterie.
That's the old catchphrase, right? Nicholas Baum, bomb on your mom.
Josh Bean put the triple brie in the charcuterie plate.
Paul Jacob Clayton would like to offer you horse blanket cheese.
Oh, damn. Say Josh Horse Blanket Bigford.
Is that what you got?
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, they go. Pete McDougal, he likes a smooth blue cheese.
Juan Galaviz is a smooth blue cheese.
Richard Fastnot, he's a hand sanitizer.
KT Apple Scoop. KT Apple Scoop. Blammo! I just heard your theme.
I remember those.
Yeah.
Richard Hill, He is mostly Frisbee.
Keith Woodson has done some good, son.
Rob Corb. When you get down to the center, you've hit the Corb.
Kelsey Kundari, who's sometimes pretty scary.
Yar, Pirate Scoop. Walk the plank, you Schwab.
Recent Scoop Mail author, Kelsey Johnson.
Sarah Rayner. Rayner, I hardly charcuterie her.
Ken Fargy, which is the name of a type of cracker on the charcuterie plate.
Scoop me hard, just like salsa with a big old chip.
Not Ken Down Temple, but Ken Upchurch.
Melty Goop Scoop, you don't know what I got.
Kenneth Soto just made his own gelato.
Scoop Lord Tristan, the Lord of Charcuterie.
Tipsy Scoop, but I just want to tell you how much I love you.
Tyler Minnick, he's no cynic.
Da-da-da-da-da, it's Scoopstronaut!
Bilbo Scoopins is going to spend 8 hours getting on that damn boat.
Ken Davis, Blavis!
You
big big yeah. Load O Scoop is the last name I'm thinking, Jacob.
The following Scoops are all contributors to Medium. What was like when Scoop, Justin R. Young, Justin Sharback, Kate Feldman, Scoop K, Kate Mathis, Keith Corning, Scoop O. Baggins, Starheel Sunday, Kevin Dandino, Kevin Johnson, Kingston Coleman, Craig Ruth, Kyle Thomas, Scoopia Lauren, Lee Forrest, Mr. Scoop Scoop Destruct, Mr. Jeggy Fly, Nate Morrison, Proper Scoop, Richard Dean Scooperson, Ryan Hayward, Soundman Scoop, Raggedy Girl, Signature Curl Scoop, Thomas Langren, I Don't Have a Scoop Name, The Mars Scooples, The Bad Humor Man, and Jenny Ebarb. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much. Hey, if you want to be thanked on air.
Too bad.
Don't know, Paul.
What?
There's a way they can do it.
Now, how on earth could that happen?
Go to preachingfun.com. That almost sounds too good for us. It's really too good of a jam.
Nothing's too good for us.
This is more our speed. Fartsinabag.biz.
Farts, 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 farts. Fartsinabag.biz.
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 Head on over there.
Naz.
Yeah, check out our Patreon page. A lot of new patrons signing up this month, which we love.
Thank you to all the guys.
New people who were there. And then people been with us for a long time.
Oh, man.
We're really grateful for that as well.
Hell yeah.
We try to make it worth your while. We offer all kinds of cool stuff. And check out, we have many different tiers. So go over there and check out our Patreon page over there. If you want to wear ridiculous clothing, head over to our shop.
Jingle
door,
a big door song. We got a store.
It's heyscoops.com/shop.
It's heyscoops.com/shop as well.
Or storejingle.com.
Yeah, or storejingle.com, right. which is great. what else? Scoop Fest coming up. You can check out the page for that and make plans to come over to Vegas in April.
Just saw some postings in Scoop Group with the information already up there.
Oh, good.
All right.
So you can find it in Scoop Group.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Our social media is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, we really have a community of listeners more than anything else.
And it's a lovely community.
Yeah.
Very, very kind and self-regulating.
Yeah. So you can find Scoop Group on Facebook. We're at Hey Scoops on every other social media platform. And some of it run by us, some of it not run by us, but you won't know the difference. You just like it there.
Yeah.
Some people just who hate social media just have it to interact with Scoops and like it that way.
Yep.
We advise you to do the same.
My best interactions are with Scoops.
Yeah. So check that all out. In the meantime, thank you for spending time with us during your week. Stay safe out there. We love you, and we will see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Don't forget to get your daily 5 hours of superhero movies.
Oh.
Jacob got a phone call.
I got a phone call.
Show was over.
Apparently.
Whoa.
What is it doing?
What's happening?
Fit.
I don't know.
This is different. This is different.
That's a different ending to our show than the normal ending.
We'll see you soon.
There it is.
Hey, we're back.
Don't forget to get your 5 hours of what?
5 hours of superhero shows.
Oh, right.
Every day, you should watch at least 5 hours worth of superhero movies.
And it was a spam call, too.
Oh, nothing worse than that. Unless it was actually spam calling you.
Hello, this is spam calling.
Because you have history with Python and Spam-a-lot, so it
That's
could
true.
Actually be spam.
It was spam.
It was spam.
I've been ignoring that call the whole
spam,
time.
Spam, 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 lovely spam.
That'd be great if that was always your spam call.
Yeah.
And how fun would it be to put names in as scam likely?
Oh, like for each caller?
Yeah.
That'd be
just
good.
Like your best friend put it under scam likely, so you have to answer every time scam likely.